John chapter 4. Now, I do have a little bit of something I want to say about this. This Gospel of John and I have gotten real acquainted in the last year or so. As a matter of fact, I'm writing a book about a section of it and how it's been speaking to me, and I'm still working on it because it's such a challenge. But as I was working on it, I realized that the very first sermon I ever preached in my life came out of John 1. The second sermon came a little later in the book of John. And each time God worked through a position or a place in my life, it came out of the Gospel according to John. It kind of has tracked my life. I keep wanting to read ahead and say, okay, God, what part of it are you going to use next? But what we're going to do today is we're going to take a step back in the book of John to chapter 4. Now, y'all know the story, probably very familiar with, the story of the woman at the well. This passage has some things in it, and when I began to see it, I said, wait a minute. I might be missing this, but I don't think so. And when I began to apply this to my own life, I said, I need to remember this lesson. And every now and then I have to revisit it to remind me of who I am in Christ and what Christ is working on. Sometimes you get into a place or a position with Christ and go, hi, I'm here, I've done it, and you get kind of resting at the place you're at, your plateau. Well, God doesn't ever expect us to plateau. He always expects us to grow in grace. Amen? Always growing. If you're not growing, the opposite of a living faith is a dead faith. Yeah. There's no middle faith. It's either alive or dead. And so, if you're not growing, you're dead in Christ. Of course, now they say the dead in Christ rise first. Maybe that's what we're trying for. I'm not sure about that, but anyway, the story of the woman at the well, in the King James especially, it really pulls it out. And one day I was sharing with the folks I used to work with in rehab some of these insights, and they said, wow, it does say that, doesn't it? And I said, yes, it does. And I think you'll enjoy what happens here in this passage. And one of the things that happens is Jesus has to go through Samaria. In that fourth verse it says, must needs go through Samaria. We don't say that anymore, do we? I must needs do that. Or he must needs go do that. We don't say it like that. Now, what we would say is, he didn't have a choice. Jesus was impressed by the Holy Spirit of God to go in through Samaria, a very negative place in the eyes of the Jews. That was considered, if you will, a no-no. They would travel around Samaria rather than go through it, even if their destination would have been closer going straight. But he had to. And he comes to that city where there's a well and a woman, and they begin a conversation. And it's interesting what happens, because what she says and what happens here, you need to have a prehistory. And I'm going to give you that after I read a couple verses. Now, first of all, in verse 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. His disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her something she did not expect. He said, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. In that statement, the whole story changes. She doesn't understand really what he's talking about, but he's not responding like any other man should have. And if you would pray with me, we'll ask the Lord's blessing on the Word this morning that He would speak to us. Heavenly Father, we ask that Your Holy Spirit would be upon us now. Your purposes come to pass. That You would work in our hearts and our lives. Not that You would meddle, Lord, but that You would work through. Change what needs changed. Show us clearly the ways You're working in our lives even now. And show us the ways we may have blocked that process. And when You come to us, Lord, in unexpected ways, may we be ready to receive what You have for us at that moment. Even as this woman did. Thank You, Heavenly Father, that You love us that much. Now speak to us. And unto that end, may the words in my mouth, the meditations in our hearts and the thoughts in our minds be acceptable in Thy sight. O Lord God, our strength, our rock, and my Redeemer. Amen. It's the wrong hour in the day to drink at the well. The woman has come and she believes the well will be unoccupied. The hour of the day is toward the middle. The flocks have gone off. They'll come and water later. The people in the morning don't come at that time. They're either working or they're at home. But for some reason, this woman comes. Now, what we don't get is the pre-story. And we get the pre-story later in the chapter. And you have to kind of figure out how it worked. Because what she does, if you read later on, it says she goes back after Jesus has talked to her and talks to the men at the city gate who are waiting for her. And the question in my mind is, what were they waiting for? And they were waiting for water. They were waiting for her to bring water. She was going to go get water and bring it to them. But there was more to it than that. Because this woman, we find out, had a history. Had five husbands, and she was living with a man who wasn't her husband. And do you know how she got those five husbands? Probably not, but I'll tell you. They were waiting outside the city, or at the city gate, thirsty and couldn't find work, and she would bring one of them water. And he would say, let's go and drink water together. And soon enough, they were married. And that's how that worked. She'd take one person water, and that was the one she was with. Now, you say, well, how do you get that? Listen to this. She had dealings with these men. That's a biblical way of saying it wasn't so upright in character. This woman was not of good character. Which is why when Jesus says, give me to drink, she's thinking, wait a minute now, you're a Jew and you don't like us kind of ladies. Why are you wanting my water? You see, she thinks Jesus is asking her to be with Him. And she says, well, why do you ask me? Jews don't like my type. You're a Jewish man. I'm a Samaritan woman. You don't like me. You don't have dealings with me. And Jesus says, and this is what she expected to hear, and she didn't hear this. She expected Him to say, I know that us Jews don't have dealings with you, but I'm here in Samaria, and you're here. So, give me to drink. But He doesn't say that. He says, if you knew the gift of God, you would ask me and I would give you water that will quench your thirst. And what He's telling her is, you don't know the gift of God because you keep having dealings with all these different things that don't satisfy you. Five husbands and living with one that isn't a husband. She must be seeking something in the wrong place. Indeed. And every time we look at the wrong water, the wrong well, or the wrong sustenance, we get challenged by God and He comes to us in unexpected ways. Sometimes it's immediate, sometimes it's a little further down the road, but sooner or later, God will challenge us. And He'll say, you're my child. What are you doing there? Why are you doing it like that? You see, what Jesus is doing, he's beginning to challenge her patterns of behavior, trying to break the cycle of self-destruction, continuing to make the same thing over and over again. Albert Einstein said, if you do the same thing over and over again and expect different results, that's insanity. But if you can break that circle and cycle of destruction, you'll get a different result. And sometimes that takes a direct involvement of Jesus Christ in your life. Sometimes He'll even tell you what He's going to do before He does it, so you'll know He's doing it. Sometimes you don't even know God was doing it until after the fact. But God is very interested in bringing you to a place of holiness and righteousness found in Jesus Christ. Over the last month and a half, God's been working on something He told me He's going to work on. When He told me about it, I said, go ahead, I need it. And He said, I'm going to help you be humble. And I said, okay, I need to be humble. Do whatever you need to do. And so He began a process of uprooting and changing life again for me. I have to relocate from the parsonage there in Cadiz and find a new place to live and a place to work until Illinois decides what they're going to do. And if that's one way, then I take this direction. If it's another way, I go this direction. If I go this way and don't even acknowledge that, then I go a completely different direction. But you know what? This time I'm not going to tell God what way I'm going. I told God simply this, whatever, wherever, whenever, you say, no matter what. And He said, what if I sent you to China? You know, for about 4 days I was fighting God about that. He didn't ask me to go to China. He said, what if I sent you to China? What if I sent you to Alaska? What if I sent you to Saudi Arabia or Iraq? Would you go? And finally He got me to a place where I said, whatever, wherever, whenever, do it. Because my dealings and my way don't bring me to your conclusion for my life. And so He worked on that for a while. And then I began to work on the book I'm writing on, and I read it last week, Saturday. I printed it out and read it, and I got depressed. I said, there's two people writing this book, a very brilliant writer and some idiot. The brilliant writer writes good in phases, and then an idiot writes, and I can't even understand what he's saying, and they live in me. And that was humbling. And so I had to work again to reacquaint myself with the vision God gave me when He said, I'm writing a book through you. You see, I was trying to write it my way, and that was the idiot writing the book. And when I was leaving God direction, that was when it was brilliant and beautiful. And don't we struggle sometimes in our lives with, okay, God, what do you really want from me? And what am I doing too much that you really don't want me to do? You ever get stuck in that place of, okay, God, where do I go next? Do I just wait? Do I do this? Do I do that? There's a lot of good choices here, God. Which one? Or do I take none? You ever been there? Or have you ever seen times when you prayed and you can't seem to pray through? You find illnesses and sicknesses or struggles financially or anything like that, and you pray and you say, God, I can't seem to find an answer. You ever get in that place where you go, God, what am I doing? What am I doing wrong here? And God simply might be saying, my deliverance isn't ready yet because you're not ready for my deliverance. God has to get us to a place where we're sick and tired of doing it our way. And this woman at the well heard Jesus say, if you knew the gift of God, if you really knew how much God invests in you, how much He wants to reorganize and change your life for His glory. If you really knew how good that would feel, And how wonderful that is. And how challenging it may be to you, but how wonderful you'll be on the other side. God is preparing you. And Jesus says, if you knew that gift, and who it is that says, give me to drink, you'd have asked for Him a drink, rather than going back to your old patterns of behavior. You're still thinking that I want something from you. Why do we think God is like that? That He wants something from us? He doesn't. He wants it for us. Because we don't know how to want it for ourselves. He always finds a way to open the door. And we're scared of it. God, that door's scary. I don't know what's on the other side. And God looks at you and says, have I ever lied to you? Do you think I'm going to take you through the door and hurt you? Well, I don't know, God, but it's big. It's scary. He says, well, use some faith and take a step of faith. I would, God, but you know, I just need to know a little more sure what's over there. God, I need some certainty that I'm going to be safe. And God says, do you trust me with the outcome? Do you trust me with your life? Are you willing to say whatever, wherever, whenever, and even going through this little bitty door which you think is big? Do you think I'm going to ask you to do something that won't bless you or anybody else? If we knew who was asking us, was a God of complete and total love who understands what we need, when we need, and where we need it, we'd step through without hesitation. But we get stuck. And I think it's because we've had dealings, if you will, in this world too long with people who are not godly. Or a world that doesn't understand God's economics. You know what God's economics says? There's plenty enough for everybody. There's plenty enough for you, for you, for you, and for you. And what you get won't take away what God has for me. He's got all He needs, and He can make more if He needs to, with a word. Do we forget who's speaking to us when God speaks? Maybe sometimes. So this week, on Tuesday, I had a really good moment with God. And I was all humble before God. Had a really positive day, and the next day I woke up and I was not so humble again. Frustrating, I said, God, why do I keep doing this? I get into the place where I think I'm all set and humble, and then, boom, I'm not. And He says, that's because you keep trying to make yourself humble. You're not about trying to make yourself humble. You're about making yourself obedient. Hear that? You're not trying to make yourself humble before God or holy. You're trying to make yourself obedient. God just simply says, all I want is people who will listen and obey. It's all I need. I'll take care of the details. I'll get you humble. If you're obedient, I'll put you in places that'll humble you. If I'm wanting you to rise up, I'll put you in places that'll rise you up. You got to trust me. Do you know who's asking you? Do you know what gift He has when He asks you to respond? So, Thursday. Not only that, but Thursday I said, God, I want You to provide for me something that will remind me that all I need to do is follow You and be obedient. I tried several different things. And I finally said, God, I don't know what to do. And you know what He said? Very simply said, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. Because if He knows you want to be obedient, He'll put things in your life and in your presence to help you be that way. And I didn't think that was true. You know, I thought, well, maybe He will. Maybe He won't. But if He does, great. And if not, I'll still keep going in the same circles. Same rut. But did you know, the very afternoon that I prayed that, I pulled out my wallet, and there it is right there. It says FBI. I don't know if y'all can read that. It says FBI. And someone said, "Are you a member of the FBI?" And I said, in my mind, first of all, I said, "You know, a police officer asked me this one time," and I said, "No." This time, I said, because it means firm believer in Christ. I said, "Yes." And I pulled it out and I said, "Are you?" And she says, "No." And she looked at me and she goes, "Oh, yes, I am. I'm a FBI too. I believe in Jesus too." And there in Walmart, we had a time of fellowship. And I said, "God, you humbled me." He said, "I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it." You think he hasn't? Think he doesn't continue to remember and remind and continue to bring to attention the things he said he would do? Because he wants to help us. Now you could read through this story of the woman at the well and see something very interesting happen. And I want to point it out to you because this is wonderful. First of all, she says, "I want that water so I don't have to come here and get water that doesn't make me happy." And Jesus says, "I'm the Messiah." And she believes. And she leaves to go get those people at the gate. Now listen. In verse 28, first of all, 27, the disciples came and said, "Why are you talking with this woman?" Yet no man said, "What do you want from her? Why are you talking with her?" The woman then left her water pot and went away into the city, back to the men. That's verse 28, and said, "Come see a man who has told me everything that I ever did. Is he not the Christ?" And the men came out and saw him. Why? Because she didn't want dealings with them anymore. She left the water pot. There comes a time when you know God has changed you, and all of a sudden those things that used to be the way you used to live, you don't even want them anymore. Doesn't make sense to you to have them. You just kind of leave them there where Jesus is. And say, "If you want it, you can have it. I don't need it anymore." And that's what happens. As God changes us and transforms us, He doesn't expect miracles overnight. Some of us get that. Most of us, it's a slow process. But it's always a process of growing. Continuing to change in Christ. Continuing to become the person He wants you to be. The same God is still on the throne that split the Red Sea. The same God is on the throne that helped Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walk through the fire against all adversary. The same God delivered Gideon with clay pitchers. The same God that helped Christ Jesus walk on the water. The same God that raised Lazarus from the dead. He's the same God, and He's still able to do those same things. Do we sometimes forget who it is that's calling us? It's that same God. And He's not limited by your limitations. God is not limited by your weakness. That's how He gets His strength. Because then you have to rely on Him. I don't know about you, but I do know this about what God has been working with in my life. That when I come to Him, now He simply says, "I've waited here for you. Do you know the blessing that I have for you? Do you know the gift I have for you? And do you know who I really am? And do you know my only response is, show me. Teach me. Guide me. I know who you are. Now show me who you want me to be. And you do the work, God, so you get all the glory." You know what? Two things happen when you do that. You start to worry and get concerned because you don't know what's going to happen with your life. You don't know where you're going to be next. I still don't know where I'm going to be living in 3 weeks. Don't even know where I'm going to be working. But at that moment, and in this moment, I say to you, God's got it covered. I'm not worried about that. I don't even think about it because I said, God, you said you'd do it, do it. He's got it taken care of. I don't need a plan B. I got God's plan. Don't even need plan A. And the other thing that happens is, all of a sudden you realize that whatever happens in your life, God's done it. And everything that comes to you is from the hand of God. Isn't that wonderful? That you know everything in your life, from that day forward, God did it. And it's blessed. I bet there's been times, Mike, in your life, going through the process that you finally were able to get things straightened out and stand as a United Methodist pastor, that you said, God, you're going to have to do something. I'm tired. I've been frustrated and fighting this thing for a long time. Finally, you got to where you took a long time. But God said, this is what you are, and I'll take care of it. And you had to learn a new level of trust, I'm sure. But God loves you and blessed you with that title. He knew it was yours even before someone else gave it to you. And that's the thing I'm trying to tell you, is God already has His plans for you in stone if you'll let Him put you there. Sometimes you have to ask Him to make you humble. Sometimes He'll tell you you're going to be uprooted. And sometimes He'll say, hang on a little longer. As long as you know who it is that asks you and the gift of God, you can trust Him. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Jesus came and every time He spoke with someone, their lives changed. They were transformed in ways they didn't understand. From a woman who had dealings on a very physical nature with many people, in a single sentence, you changed her life. Heavenly Father, we give you permission to say the word to us now. A single sentence, an act of grace, whatever it may be, to move us beyond the plateau we may have found ourselves in, beyond the areas we struggled and the cycles we can't quit, to the place where you've raised us up and we know it's by your hand. Holy Spirit, we invite you to have your way with us now. Thank you for inviting us here today. May your word dwell in us and keep us even forever. We do ask you this in the name of Jesus. Amen.